Hello, everybody. So for our next speakers, we have Nicole and Philip. So Nicole is from Electomatis and Philip from Bosch. And they'll be talking about how open source projects approach functional safety. Thank you.
Thanks and welcome. As the title says, we're talking on how open source projects approach functional safety. There are so many projects out there, so we just took three examples, which will be the Xen, Zephyre, and Linux part. So we do together, so just to give you a short intro on who we are. My name is Philip, as introduced. I'm currently a product manager for embedded open source inside Bosch. But the time where I'm speaking here, I mainly do is the chair of the technical steering committee within the ELISA project, which works on enabling safety. And I'm also leading a work group there, which basically puts the different pieces of open source projects together. Then I'm currently also a member of the Linux Foundation Europe advisory board, which has been started last year. And personally, I'm open source enthusiast since like 15, 20 years or something, where I'm using it mainly. And this gives time for Nicole directly.
Yeah, so this works now. So yeah, I'm Nicole. I'm mainly a safety person. I started off in production maintenance, so not maintenance like a maintainer that you might know, but really like, something breaks and somebody has to fix it. I went then to software development, been a software developer and tester, mainly always with some safety background in the automotive and the defense industry, and then changed to do more safety-centric work. About 5 years ago, we decided we can do things better. And founded Electomatis, so that's where I'm currently at, doing safety consulting, a little bit of what we heard before, the license compliance stuff. I'm in and out of the Open Chain project. I'm mainly involved with ELISA projects in the system and in the medical group. I'm in the SPDX project in a safety working group, the safety manager of the Zephyr project, and so on. So yeah, if you want to know about open source and safety, maybe we should talk. If you talk to me and I won't recognize you again, I'm not arrogant, I just cannot remember your face. So please just, if you know me, just tell me, hey, we know each other. That's completely normal for me that I won't recognize you again. So you can also text me, so mainly each social media platform. I have the same handle, Nick Poplar, so yeah, please feel free to reach out. So, starting with the real thing. So yeah, we're starting about functional safety. So who is in the room familiar with the term functional safety at all? Oh, that looks good. So for those who aren't, so we're not talking security, we're talking safety here. So that part of the system that should not kill you in case of an internal fault. So it's mainly it's a do not harm thing, that the system behaves always in a safe way, whatever happens, whatever input you have, whatever thing that breaks, that's a part of safety and the stuff that you need to ship with your product to really prove that the system cannot kill you, or most probably won't kill you, let's put it like that. So with functional safety, the main things that you do expect are, that software behaves as specified, which implies already that you have a specification, that it does not interfere in any way with the system components you have, and all erroneous events are addressed somehow, so that you even can avoid them or at least detect them and have some mitigation efforts in there. And that you have sufficient evidence that really proves this.
Right, and I guess the next one is for me. So as in the title, we talk about the three example projects. So we have one as a Linux representative. While there's so much more, we'll later see this. We have a real-time OS with Zephyr. There are recently also others coming out which claim to have safety certification and may all be open source, but this is the one in there. And we have the last one, which is the Xen hypervisor, has a virtualization solution, and they all run under the Linux Foundation projects and to just get an idea on who's in there. So you have a large number of members within the Zephyr, a few people in Xen actually, and then the middle size in ELISA. And as you could see from my introduction, I'm coming from Bosch, so we're doing a lot of automotive work also. And with this respect, I just wanted to show how different members are, because if you think about like medical devices, automotive, railway, industrial parts, that's where really safety standards come into picture. And if you look into Zephyr, it's not really a mobility or aerospace member in there. It's mainly hardware driven, and so we have microcontroller companies, sensor manufacturers, and so which really have this visibility in there. While for the Xen project, you have some mobility suppliers, but it's originated from the server parts, so there's no real car manufacturer in there. And what I had here in my also to mention is that they have a bunch of other members in there, but we're just not supporting the project as a financee. While if you look into the ELISA project, there are mobility, aerospace, system providers in there, so from an OEM tier one supplier base. And so we will now go through the different projects one by one, just say where they are and how they have common parts on safety and how they differ. So the next slide goes already again once to Nicole, because she comes from Zephyr.
Yeah. So I'm not sure how many people in the room already know about Zephyr. So Zephyr is, let's say, the coolest real-time RTOS that you can find out there. It's open source. It's permissively licensed. You can bring it down to a really resource safety savvy size. Really even smaller than the Linux kernel. We are currently heading for safety certification. We have the safety working group that now currently preparing and, let's say, enhancing what's there in the project so that anybody can take the project artifacts to go through their own certification or qualification, or at least has a look into it to say, hey, that really brings everything that I need for my application. At the moment, safety awareness, honestly, in the community is limited. There's a high awareness about quality, but safety sometimes really is the hot potato nobody wants to touch. But yeah, we have this working group and we're working on it, and we're getting more and more support in the complete community. What's important still? Yeah, it's POSI compatible. So for all that come here from the automotive domain and think, hey, we need something, you can use your POSI stuff on that. And the main part of Zephyr is hardware agnostic, so there's a very strict hardware abstraction layer, so it's really easily to port from one application or one platform to the other. So, Xen is you.
And in contrast, if you take Xen, so we saw that it's a much smaller community, but they are really coming from a strong security background. They were used to have virtualization to isolate systems. So in there, from the beginning of the project, they had a very strong quality mindset, security mindset, which you can see that they have every commit tested. They have two different CI pipelines for this testing. They also have a strong, rigorous quality process, so that they really just have full commit traceability. So from the first commit to the end, you can see everything which happened, which is organized there. Due to having it in official production, also in data center, it shows you how much care you need to take, because there's a lot of chance for intrusion there. AMD Xilinx are those which are mainly driving the Xen project. They are also the ones which work on the safety certification. And that's also what they said. If you have an open source project, you need to do this continuously, right? Because traditional things are often safety certified for one shot, and then you have hard times to update things. So it's a challenge which many have to follow now. And what they said in the first phase, they show that actually open source is certifiable. That's what they have as the certification concept approval. And then they go forward for an assessment. If you want to do the same thing in Linux, just imagine all the distributions out there, the flavors, how you build, create things. Life gets much more complicated. Well, this is really the open source superlative. You have so many contributors, such a large code size and everything. And then also very large community, much more flexibility how you address use cases. And also in this way, I just took some, by searching the web, some examples from all the companies which are making their attempt and how to do this either together with others or independent. And it was having a first activity with the Silta Linux MP project, so this was roughly a range of 10 years back already, where they worked on it. It stopped a little bit, it transitioned into the ELISA project, which I'm representing, and it recently got a new momentum due to what's called the software-defined vehicle, where you have much more centralized high-performance compute, cloud connectivity, and so on. And there they say, we want to have more open source usage and bring more things into this space. But then the first question, when they come to the ELISA project, they ask, typically, when will you have a safety-certified Linux, which I can simply use? And we say, well, that's something which we are not able to provide directly, because when you are in an environment, you need to make sure that your system is safe, and we cannot make sure that you do your engineering properly, and we cannot also not guarantee that you follow certain processes which are required. We can just give you guidance how to use them. And the last thing is like, oh, will you just have one snapshot which is then safety certified? And we said this doesn't make sense because you know how many fixes are getting into a product, so there's most likely a vulnerability coming up. Things are connected, you want to enhance features, so we need to go on a continuous path, and that's something completely new also for traditional safety works. And we always put the disclaimer in, you cannot be relieved from your responsibilities. So there's like a legal notice here, but yeah, we have different projects which can provide fast forward, and as we share the same burdens on regulations, that goes together. Certification will be the key part of it at the end, and this gets complicated because certification is very expensive. So it takes some authorities, a lot of checks, audits, and so on. And how this is financed, you can see with three different approaches. So there's, for Zephyr, there are Platinum members, which finance it, they get the full access. For Xen, it's AMD Xilinx, which is the business in there. They mainly spend the effort in the project. And as for Linux, there are integrators. So the strongest people in there involved is currently Red Hat and Coding. They are really trying to bring the things forward. And you can also see this difference in there on how open the people are. So Nicole mentioned there is the work group on safety. The safety work group within Zephyr, it opened last year, so there has been always safety activities from the beginning considered, but to get a wider outreach, this was opened also to the non-Platinum members, so that as new inputs, new activities, the requirements management is a good example which came out of it. And a little bit things keep behind the scenes because it's basically then a benefit also for the Platinum member to get the commitment and to guarantee that there is financing in. Xen has the approach from AMD, they are working on getting code MISRA C compliant, which is some special activity which often was asked by automotive. And they also provide documentation and other parts upstream. So later on, for Zephyr and for Xen, if you have the software at hand, this is a software which is running on safety systems, but you don't know how to use it because you miss maybe a manual or you miss certain test cases or you don't know how to really bring it into picture. In the ELISA project or so, we really focus on the enablement. We don't do a safety certification, and it will just enable others. So we want to be a helping part. Why we do so? Code complexity is one reason of it. So if you see, we have a million lines of code in Linux and small footprint in the Arches, in the hypervisor due to the nature of the software. And I put it in here and said it can be easier. So I don't say it is easier. But due to the smaller code size, you have a much better chance in reaching the things faster. But to get code coverage, testing, and so on, you need trainings, which Nicole, for example, does a lot with in the past and currently, so maybe shortly can give a word on this.
Yeah. So, yeah, asking for do the people contributing to the safety element have enough skills is it's a frequent question. And we have different approaches in the different projects. So in Zephyr, we had a training just by a usual training provider for who is interested. Some while ago, there is the option to have another training for that. And we have two committees. We have a safety committee and we have a safety working group, which are full with, let's say, seasoned safety experts that can guide and train and are just there and to help people out with open questions. The SEN project had a little bit of different approach. They are very centric about their code quality and about complying with coding standards. So everybody who wants to contribute needs to know about MISRA, and they had even a training by Baxing to do so. And they have mainly one safety expert that really spreads the word. In ELISA, we again have a different approach. So for the complete community, we have open webinars that you can either dial in or watch them again on YouTube. There are the safety experts, again, in the working groups. There are different working groups. So there is no direct training provided, but you can have the webinars and you can just learn as you go from the experts in there.
Right, and then if you think, well, that's a lot of things which I have to do, I just go with the traditional approach. I save some money, I take a normal artist, but then I just took the Linux example. You can read it from the left to the right or from the right to the left. So you don't have hard real-time requirements, you don't have safety certification yet. These are some topics, but you have a really rich ecosystem, portability, features, experts, any kind of hardware supported to tackle complex products. This is something which you don't have with a certified artist because it's often proprietary and just for a very limited set of devices. So it depends on which point you are. You need to tackle both sides. You need to see, how does my system look like? What do I want to achieve? Where is my complexity? And how do I want to solve the complexity? For this, we put together different working groups within ELISA and created a larger system. So that's also why we have this talk here, where we really bring in on a microcontroller, microprocessor base. We bring in different Linux flavors and all put things together to showcase this is the reproducible system, how you can make use of. Because from our mission, we say we would like to give you elements, processes, tools, software documentation, which brings things forward. And this especially means if you have safety critical systems, you need to get an understanding about the systems. So this is what Nicole wants to take about.
Yeah, so I think everybody here in the room will agree with me to say, to assess whether a system is safe, you first need to know about the system. You need to understand the complete system to see if a system or a subsystem in the system is safe enough. So then you really need to understand if this element or subsystem that you want to qualify for safety is, in this context of your complete system, safe enough or capable enough to do what you want it to do. You really need to choose which features are important for your safety, to evaluate them, to qualify them, and identify the gaps that you might need to fill yourself with your own application, with your own basic software, with your own whatever. So in safety, there's this approach for that called safety element out of context. So let's say the market approach is that you have a generically safety qualified or safety certified system, software component, whatever, that you can integrate into your system, and it has been developed without knowing where it will go into. So in fact, it's not a safety element out of context, it's a safety element with an assumed context. So whatever you do, for example, as Cepher or as SEN, you assume what you will need for functional safety, and you write this down, and you work according to that. So typically, these elements are then come with obligations. They come with a safety manual that you need to adhere to. You prove that for your assumed context and that the features that you identified as maybe safety critical for your user, that they are developed sufficiently, that they have requirements, suitable implementation, that there is test, that there is completeness, that there is planning, and that there are these obligations of use when you want to integrate it to your final system. And sounds all very great, but we still come over some community challenges or some general challenges when we want to bring open source to the safety world. So we get a lot of pushback still from the safety world that open source is not behaving like commercial software and we can't do this as a death sentence. It's true. In an open source project, you have less influence on maintainers. You're not their boss. You can't tell them, do this. What you can do is, hey, I need this, and I'll propose the change to do this, and I do it, and we will do it together. It's not a top-down hierarchical approach there. It's harder to bring skills into the community. You can just say, hey, these 20 developers will get this training because they just don't care. People tell us, hey, who will be liable for a certified Cypher? Who will be liable for this? Who will be liable for that? So this is something that still needs more understanding out there, because the community will never be liable, whatever CRA will say. We need a development process that somehow is present in the document saying, hey, I need to ship this with requirements, there needs to be a system architecture, there needs to be auditable code, whatever that is, so really to map what a safety integrity standard needs from a product. And how we can...
I guess as we approach the last 3 to 4 minutes already...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I just keep this one short. So what we do is we cannot do this alone, and we really try to find communities, areas where we can collaborate. So that's why the project really reaches out to all the different areas, seeing what are related activities, to go through development and really share ideas. And for this Cypher, for example, can be something to learn from also for other communities.
Yeah, so then I also keep this very short because, what we are currently approaching is to apply something like a V model as a knowledge model, not like as a process model, to the Cypher project to really have requirements and traceability and everything that we need. So there's a lot of stuff there, and there's a lot of stuff happening. So we have, as I already said, we have two committees working on that. There's this safety committee consisting of the Platinum members that really do the strategic decisions about a final certification, and there's a working group really creating the value for everybody that you can have all the artifacts and all the information that you need for a safety qualification. This is a current snapshot of our requirements work. We do requirements using StrictDoc. Stan from StrictDoc is over there, and for everybody who wants to know more about that, we do have a talk on Sunday in the ESBOM dev room around lunchtime for that. We also get asked what to do if you want to contribute. Same thing as always, just show up, please. When you show up and you have ideas, you have best practices, please share them. The communities are all open to that. Even when you don't know much about safety, just show up, because everybody will just tell you, hey, listen and learn, and we do this together. And when you're a safety person that wants to contribute or that wants to bring open source to their products, just become an ambassador for open source and safety, because the quality usually is really high, the functionality is very high, there's a lot of stuff around that can be used, and where we have the value through collaboration and not just through purchasing license agreements and all that. So we have really value here. Final thing. There is no certification date set. So please don't come to us and ask. We can collect money and bet on that when we are ready. We are very far in a lot of projects. There won't be a certification for ELISA, because ELISA should help you to certify or to qualify. And Ulfsen and Cypher, we are on it. We are creating the stuff, let's say, soon.
And that's it. And before you leave, we have a little bit swag left over there, but not there. Hat. This is from someone else.